Well, I would appreciate your prayers tonight. Got kind of a warning for us. There's a passage of Scripture in the 8th Proverb that says, it's talking about wisdom, and it says, wisdom cries. And what the writer is doing there is he's personifying the idea of wisdom, putting it into a person, like we could understand what a person would do using it as wisdom. So he personifies it, wisdom, and wisdom stands in the street and cries, and is at the city gates. And what that scripture is referring to is the fact that wisdom is the world's made this way. You reap what you sow. If you only pay attention, it's not hard, for wisdom will cry this to you. You can see the end of a matter. We can look and say, you know, I've known this since it was before I ever knew the scriptures. I could look and see that when I got to a certain age, there was people in my peer group that got out and drunk a lot and run around, and they drove fast cars, and they died young, and they died up against a tree somewhere or over the hill, and about everybody would talk about it and say, this is going to happen to them. But, I mean, they would have a few incidences where they didn't die, but they would do this, and then sooner or later, they're up against a tree somewhere, and you heard the report, and that's wisdom crying. That's the way he was talking about it, was that wisdom's crying. I think wisdom's crying a lot in our nation today, in our world around us, that those that's paying any kind of attention at all would look and realize that there's a lot going on, and see where it goes. I'd kind of like to look at personify something else tonight. I'd like to think about dishonesty, or I may say lying, a lie. I'd like to personify that and make a person out of it a bit. You ever been lied to? Now, wait a minute. I shouldn't say it that way. I'll say it this way. You've been lied to. You've been lied to. You know that we're all being lied to? We're being lied to. On a daily basis, we're being lied to. We're being lied to by the advertisers. Do you know that? I don't know exactly about all this self. Yeah, you know, I can't hardly help from saying my. You notice I don't have a lot of hair anymore. Now it don't really bother me a whole lot. It's happened to a lot of us guys. We've kind of been thinned out over the time, and don't have much going on up there. And what I notice it gets thinner and thinner. If the Lord gives me much more time, it's going to be real good. But I hear advertisements to where they've got stuff now that'll just make it grow back in so fast. Well, there was something. Do you know that hair only grows about, it's just kind of microscopic how much it grows every day. And I heard this advertisement, this guy tried it for a week and his hair's already good and full. And boy, my hair's, really. You know, there's a lot of people will buy it, won't they? A lot of people would buy it because, hey, this guy testified that his hair was in a week. You imagine using that for a year? Why? You wouldn't have a problem. You're being lied to. Every day, there's a lie. And particularly if you're paying any attention in this election, these election cycles, there's a lot more lies being told now than normal. There is a lot of lies being told. Now, what's a lie? What do you think a lie is for? What's the reason? What's a reason someone would lie to you? What's a reason why this this lies out there in the streets. We have wisdoms in the street crying. I tell you, there's somebody there with a loud voice crying too. Oh, liars out there telling stories, telling this. Believe this. Believe this. If you can believe this, I can get the money out of your pocket. If you'll believe this, I can manipulate you to be something that you wouldn't be. If I can manipulate you just right or get you to believe something, and do you know the way liar works? Liar don't just come off and say, I want you to believe something next Friday, so I'm going to tell you something today. Dishonesty will start telling you this when you're a child. Or start telling you when you're young people. Start telling you things that you can start to build just a little lie. Somebody said something. They meant something. Somebody done something. The church isn't what it ought to be. Little statements that's put in there that's going to grow and grow and grow, and you're going to get more and more. What's the lie for? I'm going to tell you tonight, folks, the devil's lying. He's lying to you. I can say this without any reservation. Everybody in here is being lied to. I don't know whether you're believing it or not. I don't know whether you're really accepting that or not, but tonight you're being lied to. There is a lot of stuff out there, and there's a lot of lies being told, and, you know, be honest with you, if you start looking back to what's being said and who's telling it, kind of make you to think about something. I'm not saying everything's a lie, because I don't have that kind of a discernment, but I'll say this. When the pharmaceutical people start wanting to sell you a vaccine and says that it works and they get to make the billions off of it, makes me want to say, is that true or not? Right? I'm not going to swallow this hook, line, and sinker now. Somebody's lying and money's behind it. Right. Something's behind it to get me to do something that I wouldn't other do. You know how much we can be persuaded? Now, I'd like to think, and I've said this before, that I don't feel like that I'm like this, but people are, and maybe I'm more like this than I could admit to myself. I was up Brother Dan's visitation last night, and I had a lot of memories running with about the life that I've known with him, and, you know, some of them you hear worked for him, so, you know, he done install and those kind of stuff, and he was telling me one day, I was asking what he was doing. This was years ago, and he said that they was in the middle of an install. It was a remodel for a polo. It was a polo deal, and it was a remodel. And I was talking to him about it, and then he was telling me how everything works, and he says the remodel was going to be about $350,000. This wasn't building the house. It wasn't building the building. This was remodeling the shop and remodeling their thing, about $350,000, and I said, $350,000? He said, yeah. And I said, that's absurd. They'll never make that money back. And he was like, you don't know nothing about it. You don't know about business. And I said, well, they already got a nice shop, right? Well, yeah. Well, now they want it done this way, and we're doing it for them, and he said, oh, Brother Marty, they know how to make money. They'll make that money. They get this shop redone. They'll make that money back in short time, and they know it. And I said, I don't get it. That shirt, that jacket, whatever they're selling, isn't any better if it was laying on a piece of cardboard. He said, that's true, but that's not what sells. It's not what sells. People want to be lied to. That's the bottom line is, we can work with this humanity about the way people feel about themselves. Right? They want to feel something about themselves, and when they walk into the store and it's done a certain way, it starts manipulating them. It starts working. They know this. And they make the shop a certain way, and they walk in there, and they get this feeling of I'm important. They get the feeling that I'm hot shot, I'm big guy, or I got this, and they can walk in there and they have a feeling about it, and then they see this jacket, and they're willing to pay $500 for this jacket. They wouldn't buy that jacket exactly the way it is from Goodwill for $25. Because it don't have the same feeling with it. It doesn't make you feel the same way. I don't know how you are, but I ain't paying $500 for a jacket I get for $25. And it wouldn't matter if it was on a golden rack. I would buy it off a piece of plywood at a cheap price before I'd buy it off of that. But you know, there's manipulation going on. You know why they start playing Christmas music in October? Am I too late for you? Okay, September. I see stuff. Why is that stuff out? They know the human mind. I ain't saying it's all deceitful or lying. I'm saying about the way our minds work and how marketing works. You don't think the devil's a marketer? He knows how to market. He knows how to manipulate the humanity that we have. He's the best at it. And he's going to really tell some lies. And he's going to work with the inner parts of us about the things. And the way he works, and he knows this, do you know that he knows real well how your childhood went? And the insecurities you have about your childhood, devil knows exactly about that. And he knows how to manipulate you to feel bad about somebody else by the way you was raised. And he'll lie to you if he has to. And he'll start building lies. You know, sometimes people can feel like they ain't nobody love me. Right? Devil ever make you feel that way? I went to Guthrie one time all excited. And I got out to Guthrie. And you know, I mean, generally, I'm pretty sociable fellow when I want to be. And I can talk to people and all that. And I went out to Guthrie, and the meeting was over, and I was all excited, and I kind of turned to one, and they kind of turned away and talked to somebody else. Well, I'll talk. They kind of went away, and I said, I just want to go back to West Virginia. Nobody talk to me. Lie. Big lie. Big lie. You listen to it long enough, you'll go back to West Virginia. The devil's lying to us. I want to talk about it because I think it's very, very important that we don't start believing lies. And there is a way, I believe, there is a way to shield ourselves against, and it isn't by our superintelligence, it's by the one that knows what the truth is. And it's the pursuit for that. And we're going to start with Genesis, though, in the book of Genesis. This all kind of starts here at this place. In the second chapter of Genesis, the Lord says to Adam and Eve, 16th verse, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now is there anybody in here would be willing to argue that that scripture is wrong, that that's a lie? This scripture comes from the mouth of the Lord. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. This is labeled a truth. This was a truth. This is the truth. Given directly to them, this is the truth. What do you think about the truth? Now, I kind of like this kind of abstract definition of what the truth of what was, is, and will be. That's a definite proclamation. That means of whatever was and is and will be as a matter of reality. That's the truth. That's the truth. God is the truth. God's creation is the truth. The reality of our existence is the truth. God made everything. It's the truth. This is all the truth. this is all true. The people of the Bible did live. They did do what it said they did. That is the what was, what is. This is a truth. The setting is true. Everything is true. This is true. This is reality. This is all true. What will be in the future to come? All of that that is absolutely positive is going to happen. The truth. What do you think about the truth? You love the truth. All the truth. The truth. You know that's so important. A lot of our relationship, if not you could say all of our relationship together, is based from a Christian religious perspective, is based on the idea that I am not trying in my life to pursue you or you me. Or we're not trying, that we're trying to pursue the truth. Me, I pursue the truth. You, pursue the truth. I love the truth. You love the truth. I fellowship in light. You know what the light represents? The reality of the truth. It shows the truth. When the light comes on, we see what is true. It's the understanding of the realities of what truth. That's what light is talking about. You walk in the light of the understandings of thing, and I walk in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Why? Because it's the same. There is only one truth. And we all come. We come. You know, there's a great place to rally around, and it isn't around some preacher's personality. It isn't around some movement. All of those things are veritables. But there is a place to rally, and the place to rally is in the light. It's in the truth. You know, you can have more light than I can and than I've got, and it can be okay. That can be okay. You can have more understanding in an area than I do, but I'm coming to the light and understanding. And the valuable thing is, folks, that we love the truth. And we say, I want the truth about what? I want the truth about God. I want the truth about the church. You know, I'm so invested in this that I can get my feathers wrinkled if something happens to look like it's not just right in the church. That shouldn't be my focus. Maybe something needs wrinkled. My focus should be on what is the truth. Not me to try to defend us against the truth, but what is the truth? If something isn't the truth, you don't want it, do you? You don't want the truth. And especially about myself. Don't you want the truth about yourself? Scripture says that some men's sins are open beforehand, right? And some men's sins go with them to the judgment, which is better that we know ourselves. So the Lord comes and tells Adam, Eve, here you are. And here in the midst of the garden, there's the tree of knowledge. And of the tree of knowledge, this is the truth. You eat of it, you're going to die. Don't do it. Now, we can put icing, you know, as they say, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. You can dress up a pig, you can put a dress on it, you can put earrings in it and put lipstick on it, but it's still a pig. And a lie is still a lie. Sin is still damaging. There's still a corruption. And I'm going to tell you, lies are damaging. You say, well, that little lie didn't hurt much. Well, it ain't grown up yet. Let that lie grow up and see what it's going to do for you after it grows up. It looked like that the Lord said not to eat of this. So here, we all know the story, but I just want to repeat part of it here. So, over in the third chapter, see about the fourth verse. And the serpent said unto the woman, well, I better back up just a little bit. Now, the first verse. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said, I believe I read one time where Brother Fred Pruitt said that I think he would run out of gas side the road somewhere, and the devil come and told him that he had run out of gas. And when he run out, he told him that he had this real sense of depression and hopelessness come that the devil brought with him. Brother Fred said that the devil lies to you even when he tells you the truth. The truth was he was out of gas. That's what he told him. But he brought this something that was false with it in the feeling of it. And he rebuked that a little bit. Somebody brought him some gas. He went on. God blessed him. He said even when the devil tells you the truth, he lies about it. The devil's lying to you tonight. He's lying. Well, he said here, starting off, he said unto the woman, yea, God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Right? That's what's the question. That's what God told you. You can't eat of every tree. Like, you can't eat of the trees. Well, that's not exactly what he said. He said, you can eat of the trees of the garden. We can't eat of every tree of them. Well, there's one of them you can't. He was lying. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Jesus, or God said, you shall surely die. He said, ye shall not surely die. It's only one word. How much of a lie is bad? There's been a lot of discussions about how much of a lie is bad, or is it okay to lie in certain situations? God don't lie in any situation. God hates every false way. God is reality. That means that God is truth. He was, He is, and He is the future. God is every. When you lie against the reality of God. Because everything is God. A lie is absolutely against God Himself. And you say, well, how much of a little lie can we tell? None. Because when you lie, it's against the holy God. But there is one that's lying all the time. Lie. There is so many lies being told about so many things. If you're out in the world doing anything, you just have to wonder. Don't you? Is it all right to be skeptical? I say it's mandatory to be skeptical. We ought to be skeptical about everything that's being told. The devil's lying about everything. There's a scripture that said, there was a guy up home, they used it. I mean, I don't know that this was the truth or not. I'll tell it as the story. It was told to be true that there was an old fella up there that got caught lying. He was an old pastor, old mountain pastor, and he got caught lying. And when they asked him about his lying, he said he was just fulfilling scripture. Because the scripture said, let God be the truth and every man a liar. Now, that's not what it's supposed to be. But we're being lied to. Over and over again, we're being lied to about the things and how we should live. How should we approach everything that we do? You know, the safeguard against this is to prepare our heart for all truth. And to have the desire. Do you know the truth can cost you something? I'm saying the truth can cost you material things. The truth about things can keep you from getting things. One time years ago, I forgot that I had it, but I had an old house trailer that I lived in at one time, and I still owned the house trailer. Wasn't anybody living in it. It was just set and had been for a while. And I had went to there was some kind of a program or something, and I went to to sign up for something, and they was asking me, well, you can get this if you do this or this or this, and said, do you own this? No, I don't own that. You own this, whatever, how many cars you got, you know, the whole pattern. And they said, and I said, oh, wait a minute. I have this old 50-foot house trailer that I had over there. And they said, well, you can't, you know, sign up on this if you've got that house trailer. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. So I was ready to, and the woman said, well, no, wait a minute. There's ways around those kind of things. Said, can you just sign it over to somebody you know? If you just sign it over to them, then you could go ahead and keep it, but then you could get this. You're being lied to. You're being lied to. Is that acceptable? Is that acceptable? Then if somebody comes and asks, that's in authority, and say, did you do this? And what then? What do you say? I didn't do that. Well, how far are you going to go to keep it up? It's a lie. It's a lie. I know we've had these things about what should I do and all that kind of stuff, but I'm very careful when I sign my name and it says, are you swearing to this? Are you? This is right. You're going to sign your name. You know, I get fearful when I go to sign that. I sometimes am fearful. I'm about to sign my name and I look over it again. I'm about to say that everything on here is accurate and true, and I'm about to put my name on it and say that. Is it accurate and true? Is it right? Can you trust me enough for that? Does God expect this kind of a reality about it? You know, we can believe what we want to. It has to be true. I look at the things that people believe, and it's hard for me to believe that they actually believe that. And I say, why? How can you believe that? How can you believe that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man? And how can you believe? That's a lie, folks. Do you know how many people's believing that lie? You say they can't really believe that. Can't they? You shall not surely die. This is some kind of reality. The people that really want to believe it, they believe that. Do you believe in a sin you must doctrine? It's prominent. You can't live without it. This is the teaching in the world, right? This is what they're teaching. That's a lie. But it's being promulgated in people. Why would you want sin in your life? Oh, God, help us that there's a way. God, help us that there's a way to keep sin out of it. It'll destroy us. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy us. It'll destroy our relationships. It'll destroy your family, your marriage. It'll restore everything. Sin will. Why do people want to believe that? Well, it gives them a lot of liberties and things that of the flesh. Well, I just couldn't help myself. We're all sinners. Yeah, that's what they've been squalling for a long, long time. The old devil's been squalling that for a long, long time. You're just all sinners. How do you say, I'm a sinning Christian? I've never been able to figure that one out. I'm a sinning Christian. Christian means Christ-like. I'm a sinning Christ-like man. Not to mean political in any way, but the new vice president pick on the Republican side seems like a real decent man and all. And I heard him talking about, I think it was his grandmother, and he was saying about what a devout Christian woman his grandmother was and how she could cuss like a sailor. Said she could cuss you up and down, cuss like a sailor. She's a good, devout Christian woman. Lie. Now, I don't mean to be political or nothing. I'm just telling you that's a lie. That's just a plain lie. So what did he say? Thou shalt not surely die. That was all that it took. Eve must have wanted that fruit pretty good. Well, it was pleasing to the eye. It was something that was desired. It was desirable. It was, wow, I would love to experience this. I want to have something this. What about the truth? I just changed what the truth was. After I looked and saw and beheld and it was desirable and all that, then I accepted a different version. I've been told two different things. I don't know what the truth is. You know, Lord, help us. What the truth? I'll just go through this. It was in about the 9th chapter of Joshua. There was some group over there, some Jezreelites and some Hittites and all these different Amorites and all these. They heard of Joshua coming, so they band together to resist Joshua. Well, these Hivites, they heard of them coming out of Egypt and how God had delivered Jericho and Ai to them, and they said, they'll kill us too. They'll take us too. So I tell you what, let's do. Let's pretend like we come from a far off country somewhere. So they come to Israel and said, we come a long ways and make a league with us. So we make a league with you. You right among us. No. Said, look at our bread. We took this hot out of the oven the day we left. It was all moldy and all bread. We've been on a long journey. We took this out. And look at our clothes. Why, it's wore down to a frazzle. Said, this wine in this bottle, this was new wine when we put it in here. And they said, well, it does. Look at all this evidence. You know what the scripture plainly says? And they asked not at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't ask the Lord. They believed them, made a league with them, and all of a sudden they got them outsiders and swore by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They swore by the God of heaven that they would make a league with them, that they wouldn't hurt them or harm them. And now after that, what are you going to do? A few days later, they find out that, hey, these guys were right here among us. They faked us out. They lied to us. Well, we can't hurt them now. We already swore to God we wouldn't. Well, we'll make them draw water and pack wood and all that. Thorn in Israel's flesh the days after that. Oh, it's just trouble and trouble and trouble. Got lied to. Lord, help us to pursue the truth. Have a love and a desire in our hearts for everything that is true. You know, the biggest person, the person we most often lie to is ourselves, about ourselves. It's hard to see ourselves. It's hard to look at ourselves objectively the way we should look at ourselves or the way we would want to look at ourselves to really be able to say, why did I do that? Why did I say that the way I did? Why do I respond the way I do? Why do I do those things that I do? I want the truth. You know, who was it? David come along one time, and one of the descendants of Saul had come after the death of Saul and his son Jonathan, and those ones. And he comes, here comes a descendant, and he comes up there, and he ain't afraid of nothing. He comes up there, and he starts cursing David, you dog! Starts cursing and cursing him. And one of David's men said, let me go take his head off. Disrespecting the king. And David said, leave him alone. Perhaps God hath said, curse David. Maybe I need to hear this. Maybe I need to know who I am. Let me see the truth about myself. Maybe that I've dealt too hardly with the house of Saul. Maybe this isn't in the will of God. Let him curse. Let me understand myself. You know, sometimes when things happen, it's for the revelation of our own lives. Well, many times we won't acknowledge that or want to see that. But when I boil over, maybe you shouldn't, maybe somebody shouldn't have done that to me. But I boiled over. That was a gift to me. Maybe I won't make excuses for what they did, but that showed me something. about me? Should I respond that way? Or am I lying to myself and said, I have a right to? I have a right to. They treated me bad. They treated me wrong. I have a right to feel the way I do and respond the way I do. I have a right for all that. And all at the same time, the whole world's hollering, yes, yes, amen. Amen. That's the way we are out here. The old devil says, you've got every right. How dare they treat you that way? You're important. You're somebody. Why do they treat you like that? Lies and lies and lies about it. Oh, don't believe the lies, folks. You know the Word of God is a gift to us. It's worth more than just, it's that light into the light into our path, the lamp unto our feet, and the light unto our pathway. This is something to live your life by. What should I do in this situation? Lord, help me to know the truth. You'll find out it's humble yourself. You'll find out it's be Christ-like. That's what you'll find out with. Sometimes you'll find out that you're supposed to humble yourself in the middle of the situation and find the grace of God enough to be like Christ would be. And He hung on a cross for us. Lord, help us. But the great lie is that you got every right. You got every right. And thus goes the lie. Over in, Thessalonians, I think. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, I'll go back a little bit, maybe 5. Remember ye not, this is 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, 5th verse. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that withholdeth that, he mighteth be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And when shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Listen, because they receive not the love of the truth. Here it is. Love the truth. What truth? The truth only of the truth of eternal security? That truth? The truth about sin in our life? What truth? How about the truth? How about everything that is true? A love for, give me the truth. I want to know what the truth is about everything. I want to know what the truth is. I do get a little discouraged maybe sometimes. I don't know if that's the right word, but a little perplexed sometimes in my mind when all I hear is lies, part truths. And say, wait a minute, I know that ain't right. Is that right? I know that isn't right. Is this right? And like I said, in this political environment, it's one big lie after another. I get all these messages all the time, warning about this and warning about that. And I listen to some of these Bible interpreters and interpreting some of the present day things and some of those kind of things. And I'm listening to it and say, lie. Lie and lie. They're missing the idea that you got to live right and be right and love the truth and treat people right and do that. And they're off on this tangent of these things and making people feel like there's some way. You know, there's people convinced that if they join a church and get their name put on its register, that they're okay. you say now, Brother Marty, I'm telling you, there's people that allow themselves to believe that no matter what their life is, they believe that. And they believe that's enough because they was told that, they heard that, and that's all they want to pursue. They don't love the truth. They don't pursue the truth. They don't ask the questions. They don't pursue to say, is this really right? What did the apostle say about the, was it Berea? He said they was more noble. These were people that searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not they was in the faith or not. They wanted to know, what is the truth? Am I right before the Lord? Am I living this thing right? Is this the truth about this? Not get hung up on what I feel like I know what I want. I know I want comfort. I know I want to be pleased. I know the things that I want in the flesh. I know those things. But to say I want to put those things aside in the measure that I find what the truth is. What is the truth about our lives? What is the truth about our time? What is the truth about Revelation? Anybody ever dare get into that from the world's perspective? Oh boy. Years ago, I was at these folks' home, and we had talked about the Revelations theory quite a bit, and they was convinced of the idea that it was a literal, almost all of it was a literal idea, and they were stockpiling food under the bed, and this was years ago. They was getting ready for the mark of the beast, and they was getting ready for all that, and they made their proclamations, and they didn't like me for saying, I don't believe that. That's what it was. And so we're there, and just about that time, there was a number of days that it happened, but the time, then the phone rang, and one of them said, if it's for me, tell them I'm not here. Folks, that's it in a nutshell right there. It's in Revelations that said the liar will get his part in the lake of fire. So willing to accept the extravagant ideas and not willing to say, I shouldn't lie. That lying's going to get me a part in the lake of fire. I'll stock all of this food up so I won't have to give in to somebody that will say, you got to have a mark on your hand. I'll have enough food that I won't be able to say that. Well, why worry about it? Just lie about it. That's the way they feel about it. It's a lie. Lord, help us. This said, because they receive not the love of the truth. Have you received the love of the truth? I'm going to tell you what will keep you from believing a lie. A love of the truth. A love and a pursuit of everything that's true. That everything's right. Can I tell you something? It's not a lie. It's not a lie to say things. A lie is an intent to deceive. It's an intent to make you believe something that it's not. It's not an actual accidentally saying something that isn't accurate. That's not a lie. A lie is the intentional deceit. It's to intend to deceive somebody. When you say to somebody, tell them I'm not here, you intentionally deceive them. It's not making a mistake. We all make mistakes. We'll say things we have to change, and I'll think things sometimes, and I'll go, that was wrong. I thought that was that way. It ain't right. I wasn't trying to deceive. This says, because they receive not, Lord, help us to receive this love of the truth. It's so vital to our Christian life that as we pursue it, as we look into the Scriptures, there'll be things that's going to cut right directly across us. Right directly across us. And we say amen to that because it's the truth. That's the truth even when it hurts me. And isn't it in like the 15th Psalm where it says, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then it goes in a list and it says, they that swear to their own hurt and changeth not. I made a deal And all of a sudden I found out that the deal I made was a bad deal. I already made the deal. And now it's time for me to keep my word, because I made the deal. You know, to swear, and I made a promise to something, and I'm going to keep it because I said I would. Lord, help us. It goes on to say that the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It says, and for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. Do you remember the passage of Scripture back in the days of Ahab? Ahab wanted to go up to Ramoth Gilead and take it. He felt like it was Israel's, and he wanted to take it. And he got the king, Jeroboam, he got the king to come and he's going to go up and take Ramoth to Gilead. And they said, well, what does the prophets say? Well, we'll call the prophets. There was only one problem with calling the prophets. They had a lying spirit. You think there's any lying spirits still out there today? You think there's any lying spirits left? Or was they all used up back then? They come with a lying spirit in their mouth. And they come and told Ahab how he was going to go up. Yeah, go up and get the victory and get up the victory. And that wasn't good enough. You know, that wasn't good enough for it was good enough for Rahab, but I think it was Jeroboam. But it wasn't good enough for him. He listened to a couple hundred of them or whatever it was and said, they all agree? You can't get that many people to agree on anything. They all agree? Is there anybody, you know anybody else? I want to hear the argument. I want the truth. I'm going to go up there and give my life. I might give my life. This is big deal. I want the truth. I don't want babble. I want the truth. Yeah, there's this guy and he always testifies bad against me. I don't like that preacher. Every time he preaches, I get under conviction. That's the one you want to go for. That's the one. That's the one that's going to stir it. Lord help us. That's the one. I remember a guy years ago, he wasn't a part of us, but he told me he was a Sunday school teacher, and there was a little bit of a rift, and he said the pastor come to him and told him, he said, you can go on teaching, but don't you teach anything that cuts my path. Don't you? I said, well, what kind of a statement was that? Don't you want to go to service and say, Lord, cut my path. Cut across my path. Step on my toes. What do you come for? What are we coming for? The truth. Amen. The truth. If I can't find it here, where do I find it? Give me the truth about myself. If it ends tonight for me, where do I go? What the truth? So they called the prophet, and the prophet come. If you remember the story, he ended up, and after some running around, he said, I told you to just say what the Lord said. Well, this is what the Lord said. If you go up there, that Israel is going to be like a sheep, like sheep without a shepherd. Throw him in the dungeon, he said, and feed him with the bread of affliction, the water of adversity. Yes. Torture him till I get back and I'll deal with him. He said, if you come back, the Lord didn't speak for me. You ain't coming back. So he went up there and a guy pre-adventure. Meant there was a guy who wasn't even aiming. He didn't even take aim. The guy shot an arrow. He didn't aim at the king. He just shot an arrow and it went right through the split and the chinking of his armor. Right between. Now that was the Lord. Why would the Lord even tell the prophet anything? It's called mercy. It's called the truth. We all, right down to even the furthest extents of an evil king's life, God allowed him the truth. Ahab, all you had to do was listen to the truth. Somewhere God puts in every one of us an inkling for what the truth is. I believe if Ahab would have been sincere in his heart, he'd have knew. He would have knew that if I go up there, I ain't coming back. If he would have known that, God, why else would God even let him know? It's mercy. God allowed mercy all the way to the end of it. Lord, help us to love the truth. This says, for this cause shall God give him up to strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Look at the world around us. Look at the world around us. Have you ever believed, you that's old enough to understand, do you ever think that you lived long enough for people to believe this stuff that they're believing? The lie? They was actually told to be the truth. That took her son to a veterinarian and wanted the veterinarian to help him. And the veterinarian said, I can't help him. It's not legal. It's not right for me to do it. And she said, he's a cat. That's what he identified. He's identifying as a cat. And you're supposed to work on cats. That's absurd. Right? But when you get a strong delusion, folks, how strong is a strong delusion? That if he thinks he's a cat, he must be a cat. Lord, help us. You say, I'll never go that far. I'm going to tell you, you give yourself over to a lie and it starts growing and growing and growing. You don't know what the end of that lie can be. You don't know where it'll generationally go and you don't know what it'll do. I say the defense against it and I recommend it tonight. Love the truth. Receive the love of the truth. Love the truth. Love what God has done. Love everything that He has done. He's right. He's absolutely right in everything that He done. And He wants to give us all of the good things. He died for us, and we have a way of salvation made for us. That's the truth. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we kind of fade back in this old world, and it's us that's got the truth. It's us that can speak the truth. It's us that can give others the truth. We shouldn't be the quiet ones. We should be the ones that's promoting the truth. But Lord, help us to know what the truth is in our own lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.